thank the Lord for the song service and thank the Lord for our young people. I tell you what, we were talking earlier this evening. Me and Brother Jared, you know, we look back and we look at that door. What a testimony in the house of the Lord. When you can look back at that door and you see all those little handprints, that tells a story. You know what? I'll never get tired of seeing that. I'll never get tired of hearing our children sing. It's such a blessing. Tonight, as we go into our sixth study in the studies of church covenant, we're going to bring forth a topic tonight, whether in many cases you either love it or you hate it. Now, that's just a simple fact of the matter. In many cases, I've heard men who have spoke vehemently against what we're going to speak tonight. Men that are no doubt saved by the grace of God, but yet have a different idea on what God's Word says. Tonight, as we look at the vow that we're under, we're going to look down in our church covenant, and we're going to look at the portion where it says that we pledge to contribute. We pledge to give. We pledge to do that which I feel in my heart that the Lord has led us to do. And in this sixth lesson, in the second paragraph, about a little over halfway down, it says that to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. Now I want us to look in Malachi in chapter 3. Malachi in chapter 3. I don't intend to be long tonight. I pray that what we have will be a blessing to you, that it will be something that reassures you that we as God's people are on the right track as far as it concerns giving. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, now look at this. Will a man rob God? Now consider just for a moment now. Will we rob God? Will we rebel against God's holy word? Will we rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Almost gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, again as we bow in your presence, we do thank you so much tonight, Lord, for the wonderful day which you've given us. We do thank you, dear God, for your great saving power. We thank you that even today the evidence of salvation was shown in the baptism of waters. Lord, how that Jonathan, even last week, had trusted you as Savior. Lord, he followed through with being obedient to your word, to your commands. Father, he showed forth that wonderful, wonderful example that you left us. Lord, I pray that even as we stood there in those waters today, that it was a testimony to all who were there, that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day, that we might have a new life. Lord, I pray your blessings upon this young man. Lord, all through his days, I pray that you give him direction and understanding. Lord, you protect him as I ask for all of our children. Father, protect them, our teenagers and our younger children. Lord, bless, I pray. And again, Father, tonight I pray for the many that are traveling. Lord, give them journey mercy. Bring them back this way safely. No. Lord, bless the message tonight. May your name be lifted up. May your name be praised. We ask you forgive us our sin in Jesus Christ's name. And amen. I said I wasn't going to preach long tonight, and I really don't think I can preach long tonight. But I pray that what we have will be what we as God's people can again rest assured on, that it's God's holy word. This lesson concerns our pledge, our promise, our sacred vow to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the church. One's church pledges are just as sacred and binding as his marriage vows, and I do believe that. The Lord said, if you're going to vow a vow, you know you need to stand by it. And I believe that's the way it is in marriage as well. I mean, that marriage vow today means so little to so many, but I pray that to you that are here tonight that it means everything in the world that you would uphold with all honor and dignity. But in this first lesson, I believe there's five different things that we need to investigate. And like I said, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. And I would like for you to write it down and pin it down so you can study it after a while. But here the Bible says, the first thing that we need to understand is the spirit and time of giving. You know, a lot of people today, as I said, they either hate this doctrine or they love it, one or the other. There's very few that's right in the middle here. But as we sit and we ponder this thought today, I want us to get a hold of what God's Word does truly say. I want us to look at Matthew 23 and 23 just for a moment, and as we open up our remarks concerning this great lesson on giving as we have pledged. Now the Bible says in Matthew chapter 23, now if I can get over to it, Matthew chapter 23, and I want you to look at verse 23. The Bible says, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." You know, today there's a lot of people that are self-righteous in their own works and in their own attitudes. Like the scribes and the Pharisees, I mean, here was a group of individuals that, man, I mean, they had it when it come to the law. They understood the Word of God. The scribes were the writers, and they had gone over this time and time again. They didn't have a Xerox machine back then. They didn't have a copy machine like we have here in the sound room. These scribes wrote these materials down probably on a daily basis. These guys knew the law. They knew the word. But here, Jesus Christ, what does he call them? He says, "You're hypocrites. You say one thing and do another." He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." You know, in the part of giving, giving is to be done, I believe, cheerfully. I believe that's what the New Testament teaches us. It's something that we ought to be doing cheerfully and also on a regular basis. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, if you'll go there with me, 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. Look at what it says here in verses 6 to begin with. 2 Corinthians 9, begin at verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." I mean, you're all farmers. I mean, nearly all of us have gardens, and we know what it means to sow the seed. Now, if you're going to sow the seed maybe in the garden, you're not going to sow a little here. You're not going to go up another 15 feet and sow just a little bit more. You're not going to go another 15, 20 feet and sow just a little bit more. You know what that's going to give you? A whole lot of very little. The Bible teaches us when we sow in the manner that God wants us to sow, He's going to bless us with tremendous blessings. You men that sow pasture ground or hay ground down and you go out and you broadcast that seed, you're broadcasting very heavily, aren't you? I mean, I know when I go out and reseed a pasture, I'm going through and if I'm doing it by hand, I mean, I'm pouring the seed to it. Every square inch of that ground is covered. You know why? Because I want a good crop to come forth. I want a good pasture ground to come forth, and I want it to be able to sustain the livestock that I put on it. So I sow very heavily. But if I was to sow sparingly, that old cow over there would soon get hungry, wouldn't she? She would soon be hungry and out of food. That's the same thing about giving, I believe, the way God talks to us. I believe when we as God's people give according to God's word, that He's going to pour out the blessings upon us like we have never seen before. God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, if a person is going to give in an attitude of hatefulness, the Bible says God's not going to bless that giving. The church may use it, the church may benefit from it, but that individual who gives and begrudgingly, who is not doing it for the right manner, who is doing it only because he feels like he's obligated to do it, that man, that woman is not going to be blessed. God says, if you give, give with a loving heart. Don't give like you have to out of necessity or because we feel like we have to when we don't want to. But we should give with a purpose in heart, and that purpose should be a love for Christ and His church and all those around us. If we have love for Christ in our hearts, I believe that we will give out of love. Not because we're obligated to, but because we want to. We want to be a blessing to others. We want to see to it that missionaries out in the foreign fields are taken care of and the spread of the gospel is going to all the world. You know what that takes? That takes money, folks. That takes us a giving and doing our part here in the home church. It takes us doing what God has led us to do. But we should give. We should give with a purpose in heart, and that purpose should be for the love of Christ. Amen. If we have the love of Christ in our hearts, we will give out of love and not feel obligated. We should never say that we have to give, but that we get to give. You know, there's been times in my life when no doubt that we have pondered that question. Do I give this week? What are we going to do without? The Lord, well, if you're close to the Lord and you're close to His Word, the Bible will teach you that in the moment that thought comes to you, it's going to come back to that scripture Brother Jim had this morning. He's going to come back to that treasure. Listen, where your heart is, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. And you begin to ponder that thought, do I give or do I not? You know what? That's only between you and God. But I promise you this, if you give lovingly, if you give out of a heart that is looking forward to what might come from that, the souls that might be touched with that, those that might be filled with that, I believe that's when God will begin to pour out those blessings upon you. As I've said before, we have never gone without. I mean, my goodness, you can look at my physique and you know I've never been without a whole lot for very long at a time. And I tell you, I have my God to thank for that, because He's never left me begging. He's never left me hungry. Even when those Sunday mornings rolled around and she says, write the check, and I'm sitting there pondering, is it going to be enough in there to write the check? You write the check anyhow, because you know that's what God would have us to do. That is what God is going to have us to do, to be blessed by Him even more than we've ever thought about. Listen. Give cheerfully. The next thing is we need to give regularly. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you'll go back there for just a moment, 1 Corinthians 16. And I would like for you to look at verse 2. In verse 1, the Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." You know, this is where a lot of people say, well, you know, tithings of the Old Testament, here's where they have a problem. Here's one of those places where you come up to it, and there it is in God's Word. He says, you know, on the first day of the week, you ought to give as God has prospered you throughout the week before. You know what you ought to give? It's because God gave you that you would be able to tithe. God gave you that job, and God gave you ability to work that job. God gave you the ability to earn that income. God gave you that ability to be a blessing to somebody else. Give regularly. The Bible teaches us that it's the Lord's day that we are to give. What does it say in the back in the book of Acts in chapter 20? Acts in chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Look at what it says here now. Verse 7 says this, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." I think I've wrote the wrong scripture down. Let me continue on. I've already read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. So the next thing I want you to do, not only do we give cheerfully, do we give regularly, but I believe that God teaches that we ought to give proportionally. And I've already kind of mentioned that just now, just a moment ago. As God hath prospered him. God has only one way of supporting his cause. Amen. Do we go out and have rummage sales? Do we go out and have bake sales? Do we go out and have music sales? Do we go out and do I ask the Stephen singers to go out and perform a great concert to bring money in? That ain't the way God designed his church, folks. God did not design his church to work on chance either. I believe God designed his church to work in order. And I believe that order is to give regularly, and that be on the Lord's day, and to be given cheerfully, and to be given as the Lord has prospered you. Listen, we could go back to the book of Leviticus, when we're talking about the priesthood, and you know, people say, well, now here you go, that's all Old Testament stuff. Listen, it's still God's Word, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, you know, many places in the Word of God, he talks about the fact that there was places that he had to work of necessity because the body was just not rich enough, or in other words, they didn't have the substance to take care of him. So he was a tent maker. And I want you to consider these thoughts that I have for you today. Now, the Bible teaches us that church, listen, is not to be supported by pie socials, rummage sales, but by the support of each and every member of that body. God declared that there would be meat, or in other words, provision in his house when his people do what? When his people bring in their tithe and offering. As it talks about in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Now, I've been cornered about this. I've had men to put their finger in my face and say, "You're not teaching what the Bible says," but folks, it's the Word of God. You can stand and you can complain about God's Word all you want, but God's Word says His church is not going to die out. It takes funds to keep a church going. It takes funds for us to be able to sit in this house, this nice, beautiful house. The house that you all have built and built for the glory of God. You know what it took? It took a lot of hard work. It took a lot of hard-earned money to build this place of worship. It takes a lot of money to keep the lights on, to keep the water fountain going, to keep our pews the way they are and our carpets in here. It takes a lot of money to keep the air conditioner and the heat going. You see, that when we're dealing with the tithe and offering, God says we're not going to do it like the world does. We're not going to go out and have these bake sales to keep the church, the house of God going. It's going to be my people, he says. My people. God's local called out assembly is going to take care of itself and it's going to supply itself through the power and work of God Almighty. The next thing that I think that we need to look at is that we need to consider the relief of the poor. And you know, there are those who are poor on their own accord. Amen. I mean, that's just fact of life, folks. But the Bible teaches us that there are those that are truly in need out there. Have we not been a church that has been the help of those who are truly in need? And I know this church has been taken advantage of and time and again. I know that. But you know what? How did you give that money? Did you give that according to your heart, your good, honest heart? I mean, as far as doing it for the right reason? God will reward that for the right reason too. Those people who take advantage of the church and the house of God are going to give an account one day. Think about it. That's not going to go by. This church, I feel, and this pastor has got wiser over the last year or two. There are certain things that we're no longer going to do because there's so many drug addicts out there, so many drug heads that just want to, I mean, listen, if they had help to get off those drugs, they would have money. You know what I mean? But now what they do, they rob you so they can continue their habit. But I believe the church is a church that ought to be to the relief of the poor. Those who are in need are to be helped by the church, the house of God. This is what Paul was telling the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Let's go back here again. I want to read this again. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now consider this with me. And look it over. Mull it over in your mind. And I want you to consider this. If the word of God is wrong here, you have something whereby you can stand on. But God says, my word is not wrong. God says, my word is true. In verse 2 it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. He didn't look at the choices of members and say, I want you to give. These over here don't have to. When we're talking about giving proportionately, it's as God has prospered you, that makes it even across the whole board. Across the whole playing field. That makes it even. When a person gives, and this is my practice, and this is the way, the only way to make it fair to those who are less fortunate. When a person gives 10%, as in the Old Testament times, when they give of their tithe, when everybody gives, it's even across the board. Whether you get $50, what are you going to give? You're going to give that $5 bill. You got $500 coming in? Listen, folks, I want you to consider this now. This is God's house. God has given us the ability to come in and to worship in spirit and truth. God has given us the place to come into. God has given us the means whereby we can sustain this house. And sustain our missionaries. Sustain your pastor. Sustain those that are in need. Sustain the missionaries, as I've already said. And also the relief of the poor. He said that, again, he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. God prospers each and every one of us differently, doesn't he? We all don't make the same earnings. We all don't make the same wages. But God says, as God's prospered you, give accordingly, that there be no gatherings when I come. You know, that's the reason why we like to, when special guests come in to speak for us, we like to already have it set up. That there be no gatherings when I come. I don't want to, I mean, I know we have in the past, and I mean, maybe there's nothing wrong with it. But I believe that, and this is something that I won't do, I don't think it's right to have the pastor have a preacher to come in, and all the audience out here is going to pass the plate and see what we take up for him. No, I think it ought to be, God sets things in order. God's house is in order. The Apostle Paul told Titus, he said, for these reasons, I want you to stay here and make sure things are done in order. You know, a lot of people don't like order today. But the Apostle Paul here in the book of 1 Corinthians, where he's talking to the church at Corinth, he's telling them this. He's telling them this one thing, take care of it before I get there. Don't let there be any gatherings when I come. That's the reason why we make sure that this is already set in stone. We've already got the checks made out. Every night when Brother Johnny and Sister Cindy came, they gave me a check for our speaker. You know what? We didn't have to wait. It was already there. You know how that happened? Through that box back there. Tithes and offerings. You know, that's a personal thing. I don't sit back here and I don't sit and watch who puts in the money. I put mine in and I don't know anything else. But I know this, that this church, I mean, you look back on the board and I don't remember when that was taken up, but I want you to know something. It shows that this church is a giving church. It's a loving church. It's a church that wants to help others. It's a church that wants to reach out and minister. Folks, it takes money to do that. He says that he says here that there be no gatherings when I come, meaning that if God's people would lay by regularly and do it proportionately, that there would be there would be plenty in the house of God. No need for collections. You say, well, we're too small to do that. Well, this is really not a small church. I mean, you look at the membership that we have. I think we're close to 60 now, I think. I'd have to look at my records again. But that's not a small church, really. There are a lot of smaller churches. There's a whole lot larger churches. But God uses his people in their location to do what he wants them to do. And this is the last thing that I want to say. He sets them in order to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it takes to send these messages out on the radio? It takes money. What is it, $130, $140 a month for that? 4 programs, I think it is. It takes money to do that. What does it take to buy these CDs? It takes quite a bit of money. It took quite a bit of money to get a recording tower to spread these CDs out all over the country. I remember I used to mail them things to Dayton, Ohio. Right now they're going to Dayton, Ohio with Brother Manuel every Sunday morning, but he's taking a handful with him. He listens to them all the way. I don't know what he does with them after he gets through with them. Maybe he distributes. You know what? That gospel is going forth, but it doesn't come. It doesn't just lay there in your hands. You see, God's got a way of his church being sustained, and it is through giving. Listen, we the Baptists, I believe, have a debt to pay to this world. You say, well, what do you mean? Listen, we're the only ones that have been given authority to preach the gospel. We are the ones that have been given authority to baptize. You know, I do take it personally. A lot of people look at me and say, well, I'm just as good as you. A lot of churches look at us and say, well, we're just as good as you. Yeah, but you haven't been given authority. You may be saved by the grace of God. You may be saved, but you're saved God's way. But you've not been given authority. And I believe the Bible teaches us, as we follow the doctrines that the Baptist Church speaks of, that we are the ones that have the authority. Look with me, if you will, at Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to come to a close here. I told you I was going to give you a bunch of scripture, but I went over it. But in Romans chapter 1, begin reading at verse 14. Now think about this. This Apostle Paul is, and consider the writer here. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He says, I'm a debtor. Why was he a debtor? Because Christ made it sure that his church were given the marching orders. We are in debt. Jesus left his kind of churches here to spread the gospel, and he gave them the command to go and the authority to go. And if each Baptist church member would give of their tithes and offerings, there would be enough to support every God-called missionary that surrenders to go into the mission field. These things we have promised upon entering this body. You know, this morning I gave Brother Jonathan that church covenant. And I said, I want you to read this before we go to the baptistry. If you agree with it, that's good. If you don't, I want to know. And as we stood there in the waters, I asked him, I said, did you read the church covenant? He said, yes. I said, what do you think? I said, will you stand by it? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You see, that's the kind of zeal that we all need. We all have, this is not something that is just placed here by man. I mean, these are not man's words. I mean, they're made up of man's words, but they all come out of the Word of God. So how can we go if we don't tithe? How can we feed those in need if we don't tithe? How can we sustain this house if we don't tithe? How can we sustain the missionaries if we don't tithe? How can we keep the lights on if we don't tithe? You see, these things, as I've already said, do not just happen. They come by hard work. They do so. But they come with a promise. He says this, give. Not begrudgingly, but give willingly. And he says, you watch and see if I won't pour out the windows of heaven upon you. And I'll give you blessings that you're not able to even contain. Listen, church family, that's God. And I'll tell you, I give you a promise upon God's holy word. Listen, it works. Me and my family have never been without. There's been times in our lives that, I wondered, should I tithe tonight or today? And that still small voice comes back to me. And it wasn't hers. But it is that Holy Spirit. He says, I'll take care of you. I will take care of you. You don't have to worry about nothing. He says, look out here in this field. Look at all these birds out here in this field. They ain't one of them lacking, are they? They ain't one of them who are in need. Listen, God provides for them. Oh, how much more will He provide for you and I? His Son died for us. He gave His blood that we might be saved. These things we do promise to do in this covenant. Let me ask you this one thing right now. Are we being faithful? Are we being honest? It's just a simple question. You know, sometimes maybe I've come down on tithing a little too hard. So I'm just asking you tonight, just between you and God, It's nothing to me. I mean, it's not my business whether you tithe or not. This is God's business. I'm just giving you God's word. Are you honest with God? Think about it. Are you honest with God? Remember Malachi 3 and 10. Remember that scripture. Will a man rob me? Oh, but preacher, you're talking Old Testament. We still serve the same God, folks. Will a man rob me? Have you heard me tonight? I pray that God will bless each and every one of you. But I know this. When God's people do what His Word says, God will bless you beyond measure. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, again as we bow before Your throne, we thank You so much for this day which You've given us. Lord, we thank You for Your care, Your providence. We thank You, dear God, that we've never had to go begging for bread. We've never been without. We thank You for Your divine promises that says that You will bless accordingly. So, Father, I pray that we as a people will have that zeal in heart to do a great work, understanding that You're going to bless in a great way. Lord, bless us and forgive us our sin. In Christ's name and amen.